Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this October 13th, 2022. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to speak with our good friend, Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW Extension. Right now, joining us on the phone, Representative Katrina Shanklin of the 71st Assembly District. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. How have you been?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
Good to hear. It's been too long since you and I got a chance to talk. It's great to have you, Katrina. Thanks so much for joining us, especially in such a busy time for you. I appreciate it. And real quickly, if you don't mind, I was on your website and want to encourage people to check it out. It's voteshanklin.com. Noticed you had a really nice video on there about yesterday being National Farmers Day. It's a great video, nicely done. But I happened to notice that you got a bum wheel. You got a flat tire or something going on. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I'm doing all right. I actually broke my back a while ago and had to go through multiple treatment options to determine. I didn't just break my back, I also hurt my joint. So I've been going through that process and recovering from surgery, and that's a little bit difficult when you're on the campaign trail, but I am doing my best, and thankfully I'm an optimist, and I'm always willing to look on the bright side. So the bright side is I'm meeting a ton of people who have gone through similar things. I've gotten great advice from them, and it's amazing how many people are struggling with chronic pain who are still smiling. And so I guess the lesson here is everyone's got a story, and some people are struggling while smiling, and we should always be kind to each other.
Well said. And Katrina, I take all of my Morning Magazine interviews seriously. I'm an overly serious person. I went through that 66-page report that you forwarded to us twice. I do my homework on these interviews. I didn't know that it was that serious. I'm so sorry. I wasn't trying to make light of it. I didn't know that was going on for you. I didn't mean to pry. I apologize. Thank you for sharing that. And glad to hear that you're recovering. You're a warrior. Way to go. Way to be. Just continuing on the trail and everything. Good on you for doing it. And I know that that stems from a lot of things for you. And one of those things we're going to dive into today, because water quality is something that you and I have talked about since the first conversation we've had together. And it's something that we talk about with many people on this show here. So that's where we're going to go today. We're going to dive into this and the recent developments related to water quality issues, particularly the new $10 million grant program for folks with contaminated private wells. Is there a specific place you'd like to start, Katrina? Because I got a couple places we can go with this.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to talk about the history of the program and why I helped launch the new program.
Exactly where I wanted to start. Sounds good.
Great. Yeah, so we've had this program, the old non-supplementary program, since the 80s when researchers in central Wisconsin discovered that there were some water quality issues in our private well water. The problem with the current program is that it was extremely prohibitive, to the point that in the last few years, no one in Wisconsin has accessed it for nitrate contamination, even though we have people all over Wisconsin with nitrate problems. In fact, nitrate is the most common contaminant. It's caused by land use usually, and many people in central Wisconsin have nitrate contaminated private well water. So I have been working in the legislature for years to open up this program to remove really prohibitive and overly restrictive requirements to qualify for the program. Things like you should have to have livestock that are drinking from a contaminated well in order to get access to support, or that your well should have to test above 40 parts per million, which is four times the health standard. And fortunately, I was able to get that bipartisan bill I've had for years through both the Assembly and the Senate. But here is the situation, never at the same time. So in one session, we passed it unanimously through the Assembly, then the pandemic hit and the Senate didn't come back. Then we came back this session, tried again, got it through the Senate, but not the Assembly. So I'm going to continue working on that. I never give up, and I will continue fighting for that long-term reform. But in the meantime, we have federal money that can be used for water quality. And I approached the DNR and Governor Evers to say, hey, can we put forward a new supplementary grant program to help while people are waiting for this program to open up and for the legislature to get their act in gear? So we launched this on October 3rd. In August this year, I traveled around the state with the governor and the DNR secretary, Preston Cole, to tell communities across Wisconsin that are grappling with well water contamination that we heard them and we are responding with a new supplementary program that will help them repair, replace, reconstruct, abandon, or treat their private well water. So whether it's a private well that needs a new well or a new casing, or whether it's a reverse osmosis system, the state is going to pay people up to 100% of the cost for that replacement, repair, or treatment option, which is fantastic. And people cannot believe that they could get up to $16,000 for support if they have contaminated private well water.
Hmm. And Katrina, when it comes to this subject, you really started it off right, because it's something that was really, it was gaining ground, and it was gaining momentum. And then, yes, pandemic happens and everything kind of got put to the side. And much like childcare and some other big issues, we're finally kind of getting a chance to get back to these things, because it isn't as if they went away or they got better in time. In fact, they in some ways, for some parts of the country, they've gotten worse. So when it comes to this, and one of the simplest things that every American should be able to have, turn on their tap and be able to have clean water that they can count on, it's an issue that has been kicked down the road a little bit here. But and you mentioned a good other point there too about constituents getting frustrated with things not getting done, especially with something that is so time sensitive as water. Here we are, we've got something that's in the works something that has actually happened. When it came to behind the scenes of making this happen, like we understand politics nowadays, very few things happen on one side. Was this something that you had bipartisan support with?
Because this was funded by federal dollars and because the governor has the ability to allocate those dollars, I specifically approached the governor. He was in my community asking, what does this community need? What are people saying in central Wisconsin? And I had said the number one thing that my constituents and that folks across central Wisconsin need is access to clean drinking water. There is a village in Portage County where one in two people, half of people, can't drink their water from their taps. And some of them have already gotten reverse osmosis systems, but they don't have a household system. And others have extremely shallow wells and know that they need a deeper well, but don't have the $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 for it. So this program will help them, but it'll also help people across Portage County and central Wisconsin. And so while the other bills that I've been working on for years do have bipartisan support, this isn't a bill. It was established through the DNR and the governor's work. And so fortunately, when we launched this program, it did receive bipartisan support. One of my colleagues who I worked with on the task force, Representative Todd Novak, and I were on WPR together talking about it, and he supported it. And I was really grateful for that, because this should never be partisan. And at the end of the day, we need legislators from both parties to recognize the scope of this problem and be willing to work on long-term solutions like our bill that we've passed, but need to pass at the same time through both houses next session.
And we're speaking with Representative Katrina Shanklin right now. And Katrina, a lot of this, one of the things that you sent forward with us is a geological study that took place. And I wanted to touch on that a little bit. It was a study assessing private well contamination and how that influenced this bill.
Absolutely. So I would say the SWIG study, which studied three counties in southwest Wisconsin that have similar problems to all of us in Portage County and central Wisconsin, Wood County, where we have many people struggling with private well water contamination. The report showed that in many cases, in addition to nitrate, there were some bacteria issues and people needed new wells. And so we were really wanting to hammer home the fact that the state's well compensation grant program is outdated and needs to be reformed. That study that was commissioned years ago also helped spur the bipartisan water quality task force, which I co-chaired, into action. It was because of that study that the legislators from that area said, we need to have a bipartisan task force. We need to travel the state. We need to better understand this issue. And as a result, we had 14 public hearings across the state. We traveled over 2,000 miles. We heard from hundreds of people. And as co-chairs, that's what led us to develop a strong relationship where we listen to each other and people across the state and work together to develop smart strategy that will tackle the problem in a bipartisan way. And so I would say it was really that study that spurred us into action. And so this spring/early summer, when we got the results of that study after years of research, it helped us sum up the scope of the problem again and say, here are the recommendations that we have. One of the things we have to do next session is open up the state's well compensation grant program so more people can access it. Because right now, we're using federal funds to help people get clean drinking water from their taps, but that's not a long-term solution, and the state bears responsibility and absolutely must act.
When it comes to this topic, Katrina, you yourself, I know I and many people out there listening have dissected it, taken every bit of information that we can, especially new information. Then I read this study, and as I mentioned, I went through it twice. I didn't read it extensively the first time. Second time, I'll admit, kind of glanced through a lot of it, but there were parts that I kind of got down a rabbit hole on, and like, oh, I didn't realize this, or I didn't understand this part of it, all the science behind this. Is there anything from this study that even with you as informed you as you are on this topic that surprised you?
I think the microbial contamination of private wells and the risk factors was very helpful. That's not something we talked about as often in the task force. We were focusing on that kind of zoomed out conversation, but they did emphasize the need for new wells for those that, you know, if the casing was incorrect or if the well depth was an issue, we learned more about pathogens and private wells. And then the risk factors like well characteristics, well siting, the geology, the rainfall, and the groundwater level. So the age of well, the casing depth, if it's shallower, the casing length, the well depth, all of these things are conversations I've had with constituents over time, but I would say that this study really helped us fully understand the scope of the problem and understand the geology will definitely affect things. If, you know, depth to bedrock, type of bedrock, all of that, the hydrogeology will absolutely affect people's access to water. So I thought that study was incredibly well done. And I know that communities in central Wisconsin are looking at similar studies and similar monitoring programs as a result of the SWIG study, which was taking place in Grant, Iowa, and Lafayette counties in Wisconsin.
Well, I certainly encourage people to read up on this subject and be informed. Don't expect everybody to read this full 66-page report necessarily and everything. Is there any information that we want to make sure people are getting from this report that is, you know, hopefully they can spread the word about and they can spread the word about? We can get this to be maybe common knowledge?
Yeah, I think what the report really said was we must treat not only the symptom, but also the root cause. So that means looking at the sources of contamination, making sure we're investing in prevention, testing, outreach, and education. So I will say it isn't just about remediation. Remediation is making sure at this moment everyone can drink their water, but we also want to make sure down the road people can continue to drink their water from their taps. And so that means we've got to look at thoughtful, strategic solutions as it relates to prevention. And we have passed legislation to do that as well, which I'd be happy to talk about next.
And yeah, let's go right into that. Nice way to set it up. Let's go right into that, Katrina.
Sure. So earlier this year, another bill that we worked on very closely during the Water Quality Task Force was Wisconsin Act 223, which the governor signed in April. And what this bill would do is it would actually help farmers that choose to work with UW system researchers for two growing seasons reduce their nitrogen leaching and loading. So what that means is when they're evaluating their commercial fertilizer application, depending on the crop they're growing, they are looking at just maximizing yield, right? We want farmers to make money. We want them to grow good crops. But at the end of the day, sometimes there is not as much of a focus on that nitrogen nitrate leaching into our well water, right? Our groundwater that we drink. So this program will help them optimize that yield. So making sure they still get a great yield while also potentially using less nitrogen, which, you know, the cost of commercial fertilizer has doubled over the last year. So that will save them some money. But in addition, it will protect our groundwater, our drinking water, in the long term. And so right now, we have this new $10 million program where the state will pay 100% of the cost for people to get a new reverse osmosis system or a new well, which could cost up to $16,000, and the state will pay 100% of it. And that's great, but that's not a long-term solution, because that puts taxpayers on the hook for cleanup in perpetuity when we should also be looking at prevention strategies. And so I think if you look at remediation and prevention as two sides of the same coin, where we're working to get people clean water immediately, but we're also looking down the road at ways to clean up our water so we don't have this level of contamination later, I think that's the right step. And I'm proud of that work that we've done together in a bipartisan way. I know there's more work to do, but we're off to a great start.
And you mentioned that there's more work to do. Are there other things that you and your colleagues are doing behind the scenes to attack this issue?
Absolutely. So we're already talking about how to get that well compensation grant program opened up to more people down the road, because there is $2 million sitting in a pot of money in Madison that no one can access right now unless we change the law, and we have a bill to do it. So I'm committed to that work. In addition, I have a bipartisan bill that I worked with both environmental and agricultural organizations to draft to establish long-term private well testing programs across the state. Portage County is lucky. We have one that the county funds minimally, but we, having talked to my local government folks on both the town and village level as well as the county level, they could certainly use more support, and I'm hearing the same thing across the state. So this bill would fund local governments to establish or continue and expand long-term well sampling and monitoring programs to help find hotspots of contamination. And I think that's really important, because some communities are just beginning their programs and others haven't ever incentivized local well testing. There's no requirement to test your private well, but the DNR recommends testing at least once a year. So there could be hotspots of contamination that people are not aware of yet, that if these new well sampling and monitoring programs were established, could be not only learned about, but addressed through policy on the local level, and we need to know about it. So we want to help incentivize that. We have a bill to do so. The goal is to try to get that into the next state budget so we can help local governments really spearhead leadership on this issue, knowing what's in your water. And part of Wisconsin Act 223, which I mentioned earlier, we passed into law this year, actually established a new state hydrogeologist to help our local governments find and address those hotspots of contamination. So I think that's another way forward, where the state can partner with local governments and help them with resources and support so they're not alone in this endeavor to help people get access to clean drinking water.
It's a multi-pronged attack, and I think that's the only way that these things get fixed or get better, is by not just one, you know, relying on one thing, but multiple ways of doing this, while also at the same time trying to make sure that it is a problem that doesn't get worse or stay as bad as it's been. So the multiple things there going on were really interesting to hear, and very, you know, actually kind of hopeful with this subject. And the first time in a while that we've been able to say that, I think. And as that goes, Katrina, with this station here, we talk to a lot of representatives. We talk politics a lot, especially with our new ownership and everything under Civic Media. And one of the things that I found kind of like refreshing about this is this topic. It doesn't matter R or D, if you're an independent, whatever it is, everybody seems to be on the same side of this one. Like, everybody wants better water. Is it refreshing to have a conversation like to be able to, like, at least one topic that isn't divisive?
Yeah, I would say it hasn't always been this way, but I've worked really hard to try to depoliticize this issue and lower the temperature in the room so we can talk to each other like we're all human beings, because we are. We all have souls. We all care about our family, friends, and neighbors, and that's something we have to remember when we're talking about anything political or anything that might feel political, because at the end of the day, we all deserve to have clean drinking water and good health and bright futures. And it has become easier over time. The more that legislators, my colleagues and I, travel the state, the more we realize how serious of a problem this is. And so that's why I always say, you know, when we want to tackle big issues, bring us together, have us talk to each other. My colleague and I, Representative Novak, he's a Republican from Southwest Wisconsin, and I'm a Democrat in Central Wisconsin. we would talk every single week. And that's how we got to know each other as people and became very friendly. And we still talk all the time because we know each other as people. And that's my best advice to anyone, whether it's trying to get along with a coworker or trying to negotiate a difficult or complex issue with a neighbor or with, a colleague. It is important to recognize that we're all human beings and we need to treat each other with dignity and civility. And you'd be surprised at how often we can agree if we're willing to be open-minded, curious, and ask questions instead of attack or refuse to listen because we want our way. And so I think the way that we try to approach this issue is we would bring in our list of priorities and we'd go back and forth based on what we thought we could get done together, what we were hearing from others, and most importantly, what the hundreds of people across the state had imparted to us, had told us, and they underscored repeatedly they were tired of waiting. And I believe that's what provided the urgency that was really needed to help break some of the political gridlock I had previously seen on this issue in Madison. So it can be done. You have to be patient. You have to be scrappy. And most importantly, you have to be willing to negotiate.
I appreciate you, Katrina. Really do appreciate that you're working so hard at these things. And it is nice, and it is a great point to make right there. It's something that I bring up whenever I can when these things come up with people, especially if we're on opposite ends of the spectrum or something. This is one of those things we share in common. We're all using the same water. We're all taken from the same thing. We have more in common and more alike than we have divides us. And this is one of those topics that kind of shows that we're all connected. With this new grant program, are there requirements that people should know about of people that can and cannot use this? And are there a way to find those out?
Absolutely. First of all, I would direct people to the DNR's website, type in well compensation. Secondly, it's right on the homepage of my website. I have a whole presentation to go through with a lot of details. But number one, your household income has to be under $100,000. We also open the program up to businesses with incomes of under $100,000. That includes taverns, restaurants, churches, daycare centers, you name it. In addition to that, you need to have two private well tests that are taken at least 2 weeks apart, and within you can go back 2 years. So if you already have those done through a certified lab, you can submit those. You have to get you have to show proof of your income. You have to make sure you send in those well tests. You have to get a qualified estimate from somebody. If you're going to get a new well, you need to have a well driller give you that estimate. If you're getting a reverse osmosis system, you've got to talk to someone who can do that. You send all that in. The DNR will approve your application should you be eligible, and then you're going to go ahead and get that work done. Don't get it done first and expect a check from the state. You've got to go through the process and get approved and then go from there. That being said, the DNR has been super helpful in replying. They have a grant program manager that can help you with those questions. My best advice to people is to go on the DNR's website and type in well compensation and get started. And I also want to give the number of the grant manager, whose name is Sandy Chancellor. You can call 608-720-0122. For any questions about this program, if you want to talk to the grant manager.
Always appreciate the time, Katrina. Thank you so much. You heal up, keep in touch, stay safe out there. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Take care, Katrina. Okay. A big thank you again to Representative Katrina Shanklin for joining us. Always appreciate the time from her. The websites she mentioned, her website, voteshanklin.com, that's all one word, voteshanklin.com, and the DNR's website, dnr.wisconsin.gov, dnr.wisconsin.gov. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Matt Lippert, Agricultural Agent with UW Extension, going to join us in just a few right here on WFHR.